The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Lerfuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefanalo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem tanihenna began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with arichut yamim, health, osher ve'osher ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Hilfon ben Regina Malka and Mazal bat Esther. Hashem alehem yihyu. Amen. Daf Chaf Aleph. Today's daf is being studied le'ayin nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'rfuas shelema Sarah bat Achel. אין נערפנדה, אין נערפנדה, אין נערפנדה, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, רפואתה כרובה לבוא וכן ירסון ונאמר, אמן. We begin today's daf on Chaf Amud Bet, 11 lines from the bottom. And the Gemara begins. Ibaya lehu. The Gemara raises a question. לדברי האומר נדרים ונדבות אין קרבים ביום טוב. According to the opinion that we learned on yesterday's daf, actually the opinion of our Mishnah that says נדרים, vows, and נדבות are not brought on יום טוב. עבר ושחט מי. Let's say the guy went and he slaughtered the animals, wrongly so. Now what does he do? Which means, do we allow him to sprinkle the blood or not? What do we say? Maybe since he slaughtered unlawfully, so maybe we don't allow him to sprinkle. Davamar zorek et adam al menat latir basar ba'achila. So Rava says like this, so long as there's meat from the Qurban available to eat, so we'll allow you to sprinkle the blood. Which means, since there is an aspect of achila over here, or simchat yom tov, where you'll be able to eat from the meat itself, so the rabbis will allow you to sprinkle. Normally, sprinkling the blood is isud rabbanan. Rabbis did not allow to sprinkle blood on Yom Tov from a korban that is not supposed to be brought. However, if there's meat available to eat, it'd be permissible. That's Rabba's opinion. Rabba, Rav Huna Amar, Zureket Adam al menat laktir imurin la'ariv. Here's a different view. He says, you can sprinkle the blood to allow the meats, the fats of the Qurban to be burnt on the Mizbeach that night, which means after Yom Tov. So you slaughter it on Yom Tov, but the Halakha says that the entire night you're allowed to burn the fats on the Mizbeach. So you have different views exactly what's going to allow you to sprinkle the blood. Is it the meat that can become now edible from the Qurban, or is it the fact that it'll allow you on Motzei Yom Tov to put the meats on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, my binayu, what's the practical difference between the opinions? Ika binayu, nitma basar o she'abad. Let's say the meat, the edible part of the animal, either became tameh or got lost. Le Rava lo zarik. Rava says, since there's no now achilat adam, because the edible part of the Qurban got lost or tameh, so you can't sprinkle. Le Rava baravuna zarik. But according to Rava baravuna, he says, no. So long as there's a part of the animal that can be put on the Mizbeah that night, so you will sprinkle the blood regardless. So that's the nafkamina. Meti v'edigamah has a question. Kivseh aseret. Those are the animals that are brought on Shavuot. With the shteh lechem, they brought a korban. So it says, the kivseh aseret, the sheep that are brought on Shavuot, sheshachatan shelo lishman. Let's say they slaughtered them with the wrong intention. Shelo lishman. Really, you're supposed to slaughter them the shem korban sibur. For what they're supposed to be, shalmeh sibur. However, you slaughtered them for the sake of an ola. And you had the wrong intentions. Or sheshachatan ben lifnei zemanan ben nahar zemanan. Or you slaughtered them in the wrong time. You're supposed to slaughter them on Shavuot. Instead, you slaughtered them whether before its time, and you designated the animals as kifsei aseret, and you slaughtered them before its time or after its time. Hadam yizarik. So the Gemara says the blood you sprinkle regardless. Vabasar yachir. So if you remember, we learned in Masechet Pesachim that we had a rule that any korban that was slaughtered shelo lishma, with the wrong intent, it is permissible to bring the korban still on the mizbeah, even though you had the wrong intent when you slaughtered it, and of course you sprinkled the blood, and the owners can eat the korban. However, you do not fulfill your obligation, and it's not, you don't get your obligation of whatever it was supposed to be. Now, the Maitah Shabbat, now if this case fell out on Shabbat, again, when the Kifsiah said it, were brought with the wrong intentions, and now it comes out that it's on Shabbat, Lo Yizrok. In this case, they say, do not sprinkle the blood. Because you have an animal over here that was slaughtered with the wrong Kabbana, Vi'im Zarak. If they did sprinkle the blood, Hurtza Al Menat Laktir Imurim La'irev. So then, the blood will be accepted that Motzei Shabbat, Saturday night, you'd be able to bring the meat of that korban on the mizbeah. So the Gemara says, "Im zarak di avad in lechatahila lo." Gemara's mashma that only on Shabbat if you sprinkled. That's mashma b'di avad. However, lechatahila lo. So he goes, "Bishlam al rava niha." According to Rava, it makes sense. Because according to Rava, the only heter that he allows you to sprinkle is if there's food, if there's a part of the animal that is edible. And since this was slaughtered for an ola, there is no edible part of the korban. And therefore, for Rava, we understand the Gemara, why it says b'di'avad, because really you cannot sprinkle this case on Shabbat. Because since there's no edible, nothing is going to become mutar b'achila, so therefore it's not matir. Ela l'rabba b'ravuna kasha. But according to Rabba Rav Huna, we have a kasha, which means he said that what? He allowed you to sprinkle the blood on Yom Tov in order to allow you to put the meat on the Mizbeach the subsequent night. So therefore he should allow you to sprinkle the blood on Shabbat to allow you to put the meat on the Mizbeach the subsequent night. Why does the Gemara say Bidi Abad? Rabba didn't say Bidi Abad. Rabba said if a person went and slaughtered, like in this case over here, it was slaughtered Bidi Abad, it was slaughtered the wrong way. But Rabba said you could sprinkle the blood, the Khatayla, to allow the meat to be brought that night. Why in this case then does it say it's only Bidi Abad? Well, you took the Kifsi Aseret, and instead of slaughtering it for the sake of Shavuot, you slaughtered it for the sake of Shalmei Sibur, you slaughtered it for Ola. You had wrong intent. It's okay. You slaughtered the animal, now it's Shabbat. What's the deen? So Rabba should say, very simple, take the blood, sprinkle it in order to allow the meat to go on the Mizbeach that night. It should be consistent in his shita. So the Gemara says, kasha. You're right, it is indeed a question. V'ba'itema, or the Gemara gives an alternate answer. Well, the first answer is really not an answer. The first answer is just leaving it in abeyance. It gives an alternate solution to this problem. Shani shebut Shabbat mishebut Yom Tov. The isur of Shabbat is more stringent than the suit of Yom Tov. And therefore, whereas on Yom Tov, he allowed you to sprinkle in order to put the meat up on the Mizbeah that night, the next night. However, on Shabbat, we're not going to be so lenient with allowing sprinkling blood, because the isud of Shabbat is more serious, and therefore in this case over here, it's only bidi'abad. If he sprinkled, it'll be okay, but lechataila, he cannot sprinkle. There's a difference between isud Shabbat and isud Yom Tov. The rabbis were more machmir on Shabbat than they were on Yom Tov. Ba'a mine Rav Avya Sava Meravuna. Now we go into a new case, where Rav Avya asks the question to Rav Huna. Behema, chetzia shel goy vechetzia shel Yisrael. You have an animal, and partners, half owned by Jew, half owned by a goy. Ma'u leshachata beYom Tov. Can you slaughter it on Yom Tov? Well, what's the question? Well, the question is, well, the Yisrael has rights to slaughter on Yom Tov. Ochir nefesh is permissible on Yom Tov. The only question is here, you got a partner who's a goy. So you're technically also slaughtering for a goy who might not allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov for a goy. Certainly not allowed to slaughter for a goy. So the question is, you got partners on the animal. So Amar le mutar. So Rav Huna right away tells him, without any reason, mutar, no problem. Amar le
V'chi ma ben ze lindarim undabot. So Rav Avia asks a question to Rav Huna. He says, hold it. Nedarim and nedavot. We're not allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov. What's the reason? Because the neder has got partners also. Part the owner eats, and part goes to the mizbeach. Well, your part, we understand it should be okay in Yom Tov, because ochel nefesh is mutar. But the part that goes on the mizbeach, I mean, that's already legavoa. And really, for gavoa, for the mizbeach, you're really not allowed to slaughter unless it's a korban that has to come on that day and is mandated by the Torah to come on that day. So therefore, Rav Avia seemingly is asking a very strong question. He's saying, hey, Rabbi, how can you tell me this is mutar? What's the difference between a partnered korban with a goy or nedarim and nedavot? So the Rabbi Rav Huna tells him, Amar le urba parah. As if to say, go outside and go look at the flying raven. What he was trying to do is divert him. He didn't want to give him the answer. We're going to see the Gemara saying he was tired. He says, go look, there's a bird outside. So he digressed him, he diverted him. Kinafak. So when Avya left, he understood that Rav Huna wasn't answering him, so he left. Amar le Rava bere. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, says, Lav hainu Rav Avya Saba. Isn't this the Rav Avya Saba? The mishtabah le mor begaved de gabra Rabahu? Isn't this the one that our master, you, Rav Huna, have complimented this rabbi and you've called him a gabra Rabba, a great man? So which means, what are you doing? Why'd you get rid of him? Why'd you send him out like that? I thought you hold of this man. You say he's a great man. Amar le. Rav Huna says, what do you want me to do with him? Ani hayom, today, the pasuk is being fulfilled on me. Samechuni ba'ashishot, rapeduni ba'tapuhim. Samechuni, they will support me ba'ashishot, it's like with cakes. Rapeduni, they will spread out for me ba'tapuhim, apples. Which means, that day was Yom Tov, and Rav Huna had a long day in the Beit Midrash. He gave shiurim the whole day, and he was tired. So I just came up from the Beit Midrash. I didn't eat anything, which means on me the pasuk has said, support me with cakes, give me apples, which means I need something to eat. And now he comes in and he asks me a question. Uba'ai minai milta debaya tama. Now he comes in and he asks me a question that needs reasoning, but that means logic. We didn't have the patience to go into the whole, hadush with him. So I told him, mutar. And he asked me a question. So, okay, I don't have time. Now I diverted him. So now the Gemara says, V'ta'ama mai. Well, what is the difference? Which means, now getting back to Rav Avia's question, why is the darim and the davot asur? It's also partners. I mean, your part of it, we understand, should be good. But the partner that goes to the gavoa should not be good on Yom Tov. That's why it's not good. But can you tell me, Abema hachash shel goy, hachash shel Yisrael, is mutar. What is indeed the hiduk? So Gemara says, Bema, chetia shel goy vechetia shel Yisrael mutar l'shachata biyom tov, v'yefshar l'chezayit basar belo shechita. Which means, when you slaughter, in order to kosher up a piece of meat for the Yisrael to eat, you got to make a full slaughtering. And therefore, you're not doing anything extra by the fact that the goy is the partner. Which is, if you want to eat your chelek over here, you have to do the same shaita. It's not that you do a half a shaita for you and half a shaita for him. You need to do a full shaita to allow you to eat the kizayit that you want to eat. So therefore, it's not considered any exertion that you're doing anything extra because the goy is a partner. However, I've added that even in davot, asul shu'atan biyom tov. Now you could argue, what do you mean? So I'm slaughtering for my section, for the kohanim section. That the Gemara says, no, big hadush. The kohanim, ki kazachu mishulchan gavoa kazachu. When the Kohanim get to eat their part, they're not eating from themselves. All the Korban, the way it works is the meat belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they're only getting a right to eat from the table of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore you cannot slaughter the Nedarim and Nedavot because it's really considered not lachem. It's not a slaughtering for you. The slaughtering of a Nedarim and Nedavot really is all Lagavawa. It's all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you can eat something from my table. But that's not considered slaughtering lachem. Mm-hmm. The dynamics of the Qurban is not the pshat. I'm slaughtering. Part of it, I'm slaughtering it for myself. And the other part, I give to God. If the dynamics work like that, it would be mutar. Mm-hmm. Was ochel nefesh mutar on Yom Tov. Kibbutz, it doesn't work that way. When you slaughter it, it's kudal gavoa. The whole animal belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ela what? Kohanim mishulchan gavoa kazachu. The Kohanim azocheh from the shulchan gavoa. Therefore, slaughtering the gavoa on Yom Tov, we know, is asur, unless it's a korban that's mandated for the day itself, etc. So that's the difference between the behema and the nedarim and nedabot. Comes the Gemara and continues. In a similar case. Amar of Hazda. Behema hatsiyah shel goy v'hatsiyah shel Yisrael mutar l'shachata b'yom tov. The yifshar l'kezayit basar b'lo shachita. We just learned that case. We have a behema that's part goy, part owned by goy, part owned by Israel. Mutal shachata b'yom tov, because it's impossible. You have to make a shachita anyway for a kezayit basar. Therefore, it's not any extra toil or exertion. Isa. Now you have a dough. Hatsiyah shel nochri v'hatsiyah shel Yisrael. Now you have a piece of dough. Partners. Half goy, half Yisrael own it. Asur afota b'yom tov. Here the Gemara says it's asur to bake the dough on Yom Tov. You'll argue, what do you mean? It's the same baking. Nah, just putting it in the oven. I'm not baking it any more for the goy than the Yisrael. But the Gemara says here you have an option. What's the option? After you knead the dough, split it. What do you got to put the whole dough in the oven for? Take out the goy's halak. Give it to him, and only put your portion in the oven. Why do you have to put the dough in the oven? By shechita, you're going to split it, you can't split the shechita. But by dough, can you split it? Take the half the dough, give it to the goy, and not put your halak in. So therefore, we don't let you just put the whole dough in the oven when there's a partner of a goy. Bativ Rav Hana bar Hanilai. So Rav Hana bar Hanilai asked the question, Isat kelavim. That is the dough, literally, of dogs. Which means this is a type of dough that obviously was inferior, that they used to give to the dogs to eat. Now, sometimes the shepherds in the field, they would eat from this dough, from this type of bread. So the Gemara says, you have isat kelavim, but it's a type of isat kelavim that the shepherds will partake from. Hayeved bahala. Well, now, since it's fit for human consumption, so now, number one, it's hayav in the laws of hala, which means if you make a certain shi'ur, you have to take a piece of it off, give it to the kohen. Secondly, why? Because it's considered lechem. Ube'arbin ba. We learned the Masechet Eruvin, the law of Eruvin Hasirot. Person has a courtyard, there's houses or homes in the courtyard. They want to carry from the homes to the courtyard. Hakamim forbade that, even though it's all a reshut yahid, unless you make what's called erubeh hasurot. How do you make erubeh hasurot? You take a piece of bread. So this loaf of bread, since it's eaten by the shepherds, considered le'im, you could make it for an eruv hasurot. Umishtatefin ba. We also learned that in the olden days, they used to live with the courtyards. So there are many courtyards open up into an alley. The alley is called the mavui. So the hakamim also forbade to go from the hatsir to the mavui. Because even though it's all considered a shuti yachid, but still, it's a publicly traveled area, the mavui, and therefore you need a shetufeh mevuot, which means you need a shetuf between all the chatserot to go from one chatser to another chatser in the mavui itself. How do you do that? Also with a loaf of bread. So this loaf of bread also can serve as a shetuf. U'mevarechin aleha. And you make a berachah. I mean, if you eat it, you have to make a motzi. It's called lechem, a motzi lechem in ha'aretz. Umizabinim aleha, which means three guys that ate together, they could form a zimun with this bread. V'ne'efet b'yom tov, and this bread can be baked on Yom Tov. Oh, now, again, what's the logic? Because even though there's dogs over here, but since there's also human beings that are going to eat from this, it's going to be split. Dogs are going to eat some of it, but the ro'im also going to eat some of it. So for the human consumption, you can't cook for dogs on Yom Tov. However, for human consumption, you can. Ve'adam yotze ba yedei chovato ba Pesach. And furthermore, a person is yotze ba yedei chovato ba Pesach, because this is really not bread. This was considered like a matzah. And therefore it's saying, if you make it in the proper way, so that you could use it for your obligation to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. Of course, there's only an obligation to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. The rest of the nights of the holiday, you can eat you don't have to eat, I should say, matzah. You can eat other type of foods. However, in the first night, if tochlu matzot, that's the first night. In any event, the Gemara over here is posing a question against the opinion of Rav Chisda. Why? Because Rav Chisda, you told me before, if partners with a goy with the bread, what should you do? Before you put it in the oven, split it. So Gemara says, do the same thing over here with the dogs. Ve'amai ve'efshar le'mifleg belisha. You have a dough over here. You tell me the dogs are going to eat part of it, and the shepherd's going to eat part of it. So why should you put the whole dough in the oven? Split it. Split the dough before, the part of the dogs keep out, and the part that's going to be eaten by the shepherds, put in the oven. Question against Rav Chisda. Gemara says, Shani isad kelavim ho'il ve'efshar le'fayesan benevela. Gemara says now, you know what? The dogs are different. Because the dogs, at the end of the day, you might be able to appease them with a piece of meat. And therefore, potentially, the whole bread can have viability for the shepherds. Because, who knows, you might be able to appease them. Now, what the Gemara is saying, ho'il, is even though you don't appease them. Which means you could bake the whole bread because since I could say that the dogs could be a piece of the bread now has full viability for Ru'im. Therefore, it's okay. So that's what the Gemara wants to say for Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, "Umi itel Rav Chisda ho'il." Does Rav Chisda subscribe to this sevrav ho'il of sins? Where do you see that? Mar ha'ofer mi yom tov lechol. Person who bakes from yom tov to chol. Now, really, you're not allowed to bake from yom tov to chol. So Rav Chisda amar loke. For that reason, Rav Chisda says one is subject to malkut. Now we're talking about after he ate his meal, so it's not. You can't explain that he's doing it for today. He ate his meal on Yom Tov. Now he's baking. What is he baking for? Has to be baking for tomorrow. Baking for tomorrow, isut, you get lashes. Rabba amar inu loke. Rabba says you don't get malkut. So Gemara explains the machloket. Rav Chisda amar loke lo amrina no ilu mikle'e le orhim hazile. Rav Chisda says, I don't say ho'il. Well, what would be the logic to say ho'il? Because you could say like this. Let's say guests would come. He ate already, huh? Now he baked. It's late in the afternoon, right? If guests would show up at that point now, they save him. Because the guests can eat the bread on Yom Tov itself. So Rav Chisda says, I don't say this ho'il. I don't say, since there was a certain way that the bread could have been viable, therefore even if the guests don't come, it's still viable. I don't subscribe to that. Rabba amar eno loke, aminina ho'il. But with Rabba comes and says, no, you know why he doesn't get malkut? Because I subscribe to the subject of ho'il, and I say, listen, since the bread has a way to become permissible, how does it have a way to become permissible? If guests would show up, now, even though the guests didn't show up, but if the guests would show up, it would be mutar. Therefore now, you're not going to get malkut. So you see clearly Rav Chisda does not subscribe to the subject of ho'il. So now we got to go back to our question. Rav Chisda, when it came to a loaf of bread, half edible for the dogs, half edible for the shepherds, you said what? Put the whole loaf in the oven, cook it, bake it on Yom Tov. We asked, what do you mean? How could you bake it? You should split it. Take the dog's part out. Like we make you take the goy's part out. So now we want to understand, what's the... Don't tell me ho'il. Potentially you're able to appease the dog. I mean, potential ho'il doesn't work according to the Chisda. So, la lo tema ho'il ve'efshar. Don't explain the Chisda to say, since it's possible, ela kegon di'it le'nevela. You have to say the case is where he has a piece of meat already available. Devadai efshar lefayesan benevela. It's certain he's going to get a piece, which means the case is where you have the piece of meat there already. So you know that this bread over here is definitely going to be all edible for the shepherds. Hey, what about the dog's part? You got a piece of meat over here. There's no doubt the dog's going to be appeased by the nevela. That's why the chazda allows you to bake the bread. A shaken the goy wants his bread. He's partners with the bread. Now we're going to give him something else. He says, I'm 50-50 with the bread. I want my bread. Therefore, he can't bake it. You got to split it beforehand and just bake your head. But the dog, if I happen to be that, I don't say, since if I would have had that. We don't go with since if I would have had that. That doesn't buy into that. He says, you got to have a reason that applies actuality. Good. What's the reason? Yeah, I got a nevela in front of me. Therefore, to be permissible. Times the Gemara continues. Ba'umine Meravuna. They asked the question to Rav Huna. Hane bene ba'ga. Ba'ga, as she says, Yisrael darim bekefarim. These are the Jews that would lived in the villages. Dramu alayu kimha debne hela. The government puts an obligation on them that they must supply the legions, the armies that are going by, the government's army, to give them kemach, to give them bread. Which means there was not like a tax, but an obligation, a governmental obligation that was enforced, that every Jew or person living in the town, when the army comes through, you got to feed them. Okay, that's on the king's expense, but you got to prepare the food for them. So the question was, can you bake this bread on Yom Tov? Problem is, the soldiers are goyim. So now you're baking bread for goyim on Yom Tov. Is this permissible or not? Now we know in a normal understanding, you really should not be allowed to bake for a goy. But that is not baking for goyim. So what do you do? Amar Lehu. Okay, this is Rav Huna talking. So Rav Huna tells the people, Hazina I havele rifta li yinuka velo kapte. You have to ascertain first if you would give part of the bread that you're baking for them, if you'd give it to a child to eat, and they're not makpid, and they don't get angry, which means the soldiers, they don't care, they let you give it, part of their bread to the children. Kol hada v'hada hazja liyinuka v'shari. So then I could say each loaf has a viability. Since the loaf, I could have given it to a child to eat, even though I'm not. But since I can, therefore it's la'uy. Therefore I'm baking for a Jew. Therefore it's okay. Ve'ilav asur. But if not, asur. So that week, so Rav Huna gave a very big heter over here. He said, listen, if you see that they're not makpid, if they would allow you to give some of this bread to the kids, no problem. Let them bake. And each loaf I could say, yeah, this loaf was la'uy to give to a katan. Even if I didn't give it to the katan, I'm going to give it to the soldiers. Doesn't matter. Since they would allow me to share the bread with the ketanim, therefore it gives it viability, each piece would become mutar on its own, so you could bake for them. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ve'atanya, we learned in a braita. Now, it should be noted that obviously Rav Huna is arguing on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is the one that said that if you have 50-50 partnership with a goy, you can't put it in the oven, you got to take his chelek out, and you got to split it. What do you mean? According to this, over here, if they go,
as long as it's
ra'uy to give to ketanim, right? So therefore, it should be mutar. So that's obviously Rav Huna's arguing on Rav Chisda. Now she says that clearly. Kol hada v'hada upalig Rav Huna ad Rav Chisda. The Amar Rav Chisda should go and Rav Chisda should say asud afuta. Good. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'atanya, we have a braita ma'aseh b'Shimon haTemani. Shimon at Temani, that she says mit Timnat haya. It was Shimon from the city of Timnat. Shelo ba emesh lebet midrash. It was Yom Tov. He didn't come in the afternoon to the Bet Midrash. Yom Tov afternoon. He wasn't there for the shiur. B'shacharit. So the next morning, Mitzaor Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Rabbi Yehuda found him. Amar lo bepenel lo bata emesh lebet midrash. Where were you yesterday? How come we didn't see you in the afternoon in the bet midrash? Amar lo boleshet ba'a le'irenu. We had a band of soldiers that came through the city on Yom Tov. Ubiksha lachtof et kol ha'ir. They wanted to plunder the whole city. And the soldiers come through and they were going to take whatever they want. They're looking to plunder. So now we don't know what to do. So we had to appease them. So what do? We took a egel, kef, we slaughtered it for them, and we fed them, and we exempted them, and they went in peace. And so we got off the hook. We were able to give them an egel and finished. So now, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, here's what they did. Amar lo tama ani. I am wondering, I'm shocked. Im lo yatsa secharchem behefsedchem. I don't know that if your sechar, your reward, meaning the savings that you did by savoring your plundering, I don't know if you gained more than you lost. Why? Share amrat Torah lachem velo legoyim. The Torah does not allow you to slaughter for goyim. Torah says, "Hu lebado yaseh lachem." Okay, never is mutar for Jews, but it's not mutar. I just slaughtered this. I don't know what you did over here. I don't know what your heter was. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba is telling Shimon from Timna. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'amai ha'chazi lemechal mine." So what are you talking about over here? According to Rav Huna, since the Jews would be able to eat from this animal, right? Because the goyim are not going to eat makpid; it's their animal. Therefore, since they would be able to eat, therefore it should be considered viable. So therefore, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba telling Shimon at Temani, "Oh, what are you doing? You lost out. How did you slaughter? What do you mean I just slaughter? I'm slaughtering an animal. I'm sharing it with the goyim. Now they're not going to be makpid if I want to eat. After all, it's my animal. So therefore, the chaura, since each piece has viability to be eaten by the Jew, so same thing we could say. That what the animal in totality has a viability. Therefore, the chaura should be mutar. Why did he knock him? Question against Navuna. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, no, there's a different case here. Egel terefa avai. The egel, before they slaughtered it, it was a terefa. They didn't give the goy a regular kosher animal. It's an animal that had all blemishes on it and all that stuff like that, where they weren't be able to eat it anyway. So they slaughtered it. So that's why you Rabbi Yehuda Baba knock. So what are you talking about? I just thought this is a total animal. Wasn't that way for Yisrael? Bichlal. You slaughtered it, was a terefa. So you yatsa secherchem besetchem. Kibras, what do you mean? V'achazi lekelavim. Still, it's still ra'ui for the dogs. Granted, for human consumption, not. But still, it's fit to give to the dogs. So therefore, why did he knock them? So the Gemara says, oh, Tanae. Doing something for the dogs on Yom Tov is actually a machloket Tanaim. Oh, what's the machloket? So the Gemara says, the Tanya, we have a bright. Ach asher yachel lechon nefesh, hu lebado yaaseh lachem. It's only food that can be eaten, lechon nefesh, for every soul. This is the only thing that is permissible to do for yourselves. Now, when it says lechol nefesh, shomei ani afilu nefesh behema bebashma. Lechol nefesh. It's mashma for any soul, including animals. It would be permissible to prepare food. Kenyan shneimar umaken nefesh behema yishademena. When you see the word nefesh, nefesh refers to a behema. Like you see in another pasuk, it calls nefesh behema. So therefore, Talmud Lomar Lachem. That's what it has to reiterate. Lachem. Only for you. Lachem velo lakelavim. For you and not for the dogs. The Rebbe see Rabbi Yosef Gili. So you see clearly Rabbi Yosef Gili holds when the Torah says Lachem, it's coming to exclude dogs. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu Nefesh Behema Bemashma. He says, you know what? When it says Nefesh, it means even the dogs, even the animals. You can prepare for. Imken, matamud lomar lachem. So what does lachem come to exclude? Lachem velo legoyim. Yeah, it's coming to exclude that what? You're not allowed to prepare food for the goyim. So comes the Gemara and says, umara ita lerabot et hakelavim velotzi et hagoyim. Rabbi Akiva, why do you have a preference to allow preparing food for dogs, but you're excluding preparing food for goyim? He says, "Marbe ani et hakelavim shemizonotan alecha, umotzi ani et hagoyim shemizonotan alecha." Simple reason: there's no obligation for you to support the goyim, and therefore it's not on you; it's not incumbent upon you. Therefore, asur. But the dogs, the animals, your animals, you have an obligation to feed them. So therefore, I'm going to allow you to feed the animals. Oh, so very good. So what did we find over here? Found a great machloket tanaim between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Akiva, if preparation of food for kelavim is mutar or not. Ah, so therefore now we understand the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Shimon HaTemani. Shimon HaTemani came to the rabbi. They told, "Hey, where were you yesterday?" Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba asked him, "Where were you?" "Oh, no, we were in the city over there. The soldiers came in. They wanted to plunder the city, but we got rid of them. We slaughtered an egel. They slaughtered an egel. "Oh boy, I don't know what you did. You lost out. You know, more lost than gained." So he asked, "What do you mean, more lost than gained? Since they were slaughtering the animals, it's not way for them to eat. According to Rav Huna, as long as it's not way for you to eat, you can eat it with them. So therefore, should be mutar. Nah, it was an egel of a terefa. So there was no legal way for the Jews to eat it." "Huh? What do you mean? But so if it can have him? So you have to say that obviously this rabbi holds you, Rabbi Yehuda Meba holds like the Tanaim that say what? Like Rabbi Yosef, that says Kelavim is Asur, that you cannot slaughter something for Kelavim. So in this case over here, and if you cannot slaughter for Kelavim, by the way, because you can for Goyim. That's obvious. So therefore, when he slaughtered the animal, he had no heter. That's what Rabbi Meba told him. He said, I wonder if your Sakhar outweighed your hefsed. But granted, if let's say it would have been a kosher animal, according to Rav Huna, would have been permissible. Why? Since it's ra'ui for Adam to eat, right? The goyim would let them eat. So therefore, my slaughtering is for me, and therefore I'm giving it per part to the goy. There would be mutar. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. So Abaye tells Rav Yosef. Ulrabi Yosef haGilili. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Gilili, again, that says what? That you're not allowed to prepare food on Yom Tov for the dogs. Da'amad lachem v'do lekelavim. Hane souffle. These souffle, as she says, gar'inet temarim. They're the pits of the dates. Now, what did they do with the pits of these dates? They used to give them as animal food. So the Gemara says, lehiyuta. Which means, according to you, we don't allow anything for the preparation of animals. Now these dates, the dates themselves are not mukseh, but the pits of the dates are mukseh. And since you don't allow to feed the animals, but to make a ochen nefesh is not permissible, how do we allow these people? It seems it was accepted practice. They would take the dates, pits, and throw it to the animals. How do you allow them to do that? It's mukseh. I mean, if you hold that the laws of ochen nefesh don't apply to that the laws of ochen apply as well to dogs, I mean you could feed your animals, so no problem. I could take the pits and give it to the dogs. So that we for ma'achal behema, so therefore it's permissible. But if you hold that you're not allowed to feed the animals, so therefore these pits over here are mukseh. There's no heter. So that's the Gemara's question. Now she says, "Hechi shadino." Top line, "Kevan dele Adam lo hazu." Since they're not ra'ui for Adam, "Umaachal lebema lo mishtere," and you don't allow feeding the animals on Yom Tov, Aside bitl tu, they become mukseh. So Rabbi Yosef, how do you feed the animals these pits? Amale, he answered back. Ho'il vehazu lehasaka. They're not mukseh, these items, because you can use them for fuel. That's a dry pit. If you throw it into the fire there, it's a piece like a piece of wood. Therefore, it's fuel, no problem. So they're not mukseh. They have a use. Kabbalah says tinach biyabishta. And that only explains the dried pits. Biratipta ma'ika lememar. How you can explain the moist ones? The moist ones, they don't burn, and therefore they should be mukseh. So amale hazu lehesek gadol. Okay, might not be useful in a small fire fueling it, but in a big fire,
it'll work
because it'll dry up quickly and it'll become a fuel. So it's also non-mukseh. So Gemara says Tina b'Yom Tov. Right, that explains Yom Tov where you're allowed to make a fire.
Right.
However, b'Shabbat ma'ika lememar. How you can explain it on Shabbat? Shabbat you can make a fire. These items go back to becoming mukseh. How do you feed it to the animals? Metaltelinan lehu agav rifta. You can move them by way of bread, by means of bread. Now, what does this mean? Either you have to say the case is talking about where the pits happen to be on the bread already, because nobody's going to allow you to go take the bread and pick up a mukseh. You have to say it was on the bread already, or a simple case, guy was eating dates, right? And he has the pits in his mouth. He just takes the piece of bread, he spits the pit out into the bread. Now he takes and he throws it to the dogs. So that's you have to say, but you cannot do it directly. You can do it agav rifta. They're going to say, is that permissible to do something with bread like that? Right. So the Gemara says, Kiddush Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Oseh Adam, Kod Sorko, Bepat. that Shmuel said that's permissible, that we're not worried about bizayon ochlin, we're not worried about the disgrace that it's going to give to the ochlin, therefore no problem. So that's the way you get around it on Shabbat. Oh, but this is arguing now, actually not this, but that which we learned above. Ravuna, right? Ravuna said what? Ravuna said that the bread you're allowed to bake for the soldiers that were coming to the city. Right? What was his logic, Ravuna? You're baking for goyim.
Right.
So he said, well, listen, if they give you permission to eat from it, so that I could say each loaf is really ra'ui for a Yehudi, and therefore it's okay. That was Ravuna's shita. Alright? Now we're going to see an opinion of Yeshua ben Levi that argues against Rav Huna. Let's see how. Ufliga Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Damar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, mezamenim et ha-goy b'shabbat. You're allowed to invite a goy to come over to eat with you on Shabbat. Ve'en mezamenim et ha-goy b'yom tov. But you're not allowed to invite the goy on Yom Tov. What's the difference? Gezerah shemi yerbe b'shvilo. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. So we're concerned, you're going to invite the goy, what are you going to end up doing? You're going to put up some more food for him. Cooking for the goy, this opinion holds, is asur. Right? Everybody held this, is really asur. So therefore, on Shabbat, you're not cooking. There's no gezerah. Like, if a goy comes up, you might go not start putting up food in the oven. Hazar shalom. No. We don't suspect the guy's going to come to cook. But if you're cooking already on Yom Tov, and there's a goy that comes over, you might throw an extra piece of meat or something like that. So therefore, he disallows inviting goyim to the seudah on Yom Tov. Ravaha bar Yaakov amar afilu b'Shabbat namelo. Ravaha says, you know what? Even on Shabbat, you can't invite a goy.
Why?
You're not cooking. What's the problem? Mishum shiure kosot. Because you're worried. In the olden days, it was very common. They drank wine. Now, what are you worried? The goy is drinking his wine. Once the goy drinks his wine becomes yayin nesek. His wine becomes asur. Right? It's asur. Now it's mukseh. Because there's no benefit for a Jew from this wine. Now what's going to happen? The shamosh cleans up the table. He's going to pick up the leftover wine that the goy drank and move it away. That's mukseh. So therefore you can't invite the goy on Shabbat because of shiure kosot. Because of the leftover wine that's going to be in his cup, that's going to become mukseh because of yayin nesek, and we don't want the shamosh to move it. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? You're worried about the leftover stuff that's in the food, in the pots or in the vessels. For that matter, even our leftovers are mukseh. Well, it's disgusting. What do you do with our leftovers? It's not ra'uy for anything. So therefore, well, why only the goys you're worried about? Even the Jews' leftovers is a problem. Our leftovers you give to the chickens at least. Yeah, right. Which means that you could have hana'a from it, you can give it to the animals. However, didu nami azul tanegulim. Why can't you give theirs to the tanegulim? No, didu is sure hana'a ninu. Gemara says, no, the yayin nesek is a sur b'hana'a. Not to have any benefit from it. Not hazul shalom human beings, and cannot even give it to the animals. So therefore, this is totally mukseh. So the Gemara says, velitlilinu. Agav kasa. You should be allowed to move it agav the kus, which means the wine is in a kus,
right.
So the cup. So we should allow you to move it via the cup. Why? Milo amar Rava. Didn't Rava teach us in a different place? Metaltelin kinuna agav kitma. Kinuna is like a shovel that was used, like a pan shovel, that was used for, let's say, making coals. Okay, that we make the coals in the shovel. So it says, let's say I have ashes that are in the shovel. The ashes are not mukseh. We're talking about ashes that I designated before Shabbat that I want to use it either to cover up so'ah or right. To cover up the rock, the spit that's on the ground. So the ashes in this case are non-mukseh ash, and they're in a kenuna. Afal gav di'ika aleha shivri etzim. Now, even though on the ashes themselves there's what's called shivri etzim, pieces of twigs or wood. Now, those pieces of wood are indeed mukseh. So the Gemara says, I allow you to move the kenuna, this
shovel,
even though it's got the mukseh inside of it, and therefore it should be permissible for me to move the glass that has the mukseh inside of it. So Tosafot over here says, what are you talking about? What is the comparison over here? The reason why I allow you to carry the kenuna is because the ashes of butar. I got heter in there. So I got heter in Isur. So I got heter in Isur's basis and vara Isur and mutar. So that's why I learned the cup. But here in the cup, I only have one. It's all Isur. What's the Gemara's analogy over here? So the Tosafot says, no, no. The analogy over here is the kinuna is also mukseh, which means the actual shovel itself is mukseh. Why? Because it's a kli shemenachto the isur. This vessel is not a normal vessel used on Shabbat. Right. It's normally designated for what? For making coals, for making fire in there. And therefore the kenuna itself really should be asur to move. What's allowing me to move it? The essence said, even though there's mukseh, even though now you're allowing me to move the kenuna, agav, an item that has over here, ash, has bad, which means has the wood. Ella, what do you say? You have to say that the wood is insignificant.
Batel.
You have to say the wood is batel. Because since it's so insignificant, it's batel to the ashes. And therefore, it allows me to carry the kenuna. Similarly, I will say that the little wine that's in this flask over here, this glass, it's already batel to the glass. See, I want to carry here. It's the reverse. Yeah, it's what's inside is mukseh, and what's outside is eter. But that's the analogy. You have a good and a bad, and therefore, just like you'll allow me to carry the mukseh kenuna, and I'm going to say what that the shivri etzim are insignificant, the batel. So say the same thing, that the wine that's in the flask over here, that's insignificant, and therefore it should be batel. Should allow me. Should be able to carry the glass. So to that the Gemara says, there is a difference. Hatam lav isure hana'aninu. Hach isure hana'aninu. The difference. The wood chips that are on in that shovel, they might be mukseh, but they're not asur hana'a. And therefore I could say, it's batel, it's insignificant, it's batel to the ashes, etc. But to come along and go so far and say that the wine is insignificant, once the wine already is on the level of Isur Hana'a, you can't insignificant that. That's significant. And therefore, it remains mukseh. There's a difference. Isur Hana'a is on a higher madrega, like it's more severe. That therefore we cannot be mekel. That she says, mukseh tafeh. It's more mukseh, so to speak. Because you say, that's out of a guy's mind. You're not using it bichlal. You know, there's no usage for it at all. Exactly. So now we have a different angle. Rabbi Hamid Ifti says, okay, we know that on Shabbat, if there's a graf shil re'i, that's, let's say, a bucket of excrement, right? Now, excrement obviously is mukseh. But it's in the middle of the place over there where people want to sit or something like that. Through halacha, so you can move it. Graf Shirei, you can move because kavod abiriyot. You want to sit and enjoy the Shabbat now. So the same thing over here. Right. Now you have on the table this leftover of the goyim. Disgusting. Nobody wants to look at this now in front of them. So therefore, it should be like a graf Shirei. Get rid of it. So we have it there. Right. Which means, you're telling me you can't have goyim over on Shabbat. Why? Because you're worried about the mukseh factor. What's the mukseh factor? Mukseh factor, the leftovers of the wine. Mukseh. Why mukseh? Graf shilrei. Now let the shemosh clean it up. It's disgusting. The Gemara says, hold it. One small problem. The Gemara says, v'chi osin graf shilrei lechetahila. Are you allowed to put yourself in a position where there's going to be a graf shel re'i? No. Which means, for example, a person cannot go sit in a place where there's a graf shel re'i and then say, oh, you know what, I'm going to give it. Go sit somewhere else. You cannot create a situation of graf shel re'i l'chatahila here by inviting the goy. You know you're creating now a graf shel re'i. And therefore, if it happens on Shabbat, okay, vaday be mutar. But to stage it, lechatechila, en osim graf shere'i, lechatechila, lechat rashi, v'chi osim graf shere'i, lechatechila, nehi dechi ite keman, mislakin alim. If it's in front of you, we agree. Can move it. Aval, le'atuye keman? Could you bring it in front of you?
No.
To put it, or le'mezal anan le'gaber, or to go to the graf shere'i, ki echi d'nim'as ala, and also become, now then become disgusted after you put yourself in the position, would that be permissible? So therefore, that comes out the final Gemara, where you're not allowed to fight the good because of the mukseh aspect of the leftovers of the wine. Comes the Gemara and says, Adbere Rava Lemor Shemuel. Rava was escorting, walking, Mor Shemuel. They were walking together. Vedarash. And he gave a derasha. Mezamenim et hagoy b'Shabbat, ve'en mezamenim et hagoy b'Yom Tov. Gezerah shemayerbe b'Shvido. So he learned, like the opinion, one of the opinions that we said above, that's actually according to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, that you're allowed to invite the goy on Shabbat, but you're not allowed to invite him on Yom Tov. Why not on Yom Tov? Shemayerbe b'Shvido. Next case. Moremor umor zutra ki avam mikla lehu goy biyom tov. When a goy would appear to them on Yom Tov, right, as a visitor, amru le, so they would tell the goy, ini halecha b'may detri halan mutav v'ilo tircha yetera adata didach lo tarchinan. They would tell the goy very, very candidly, and they would say, listen, if you're happy with the food that we have here, fine. But we're not doing anything extra for you. We're not making anything extra. You want to eat from this here, bechavod. But no, we're not cooking anything extra for you. Now, we have to understand what's the purpose of this Gemara here. This is in Yom Tov. So the Mefashim explain that they agree you can't invite. This is talking about a guy where the guy showed up. So the Hiddush is that when the guy showed up,
you make the statement.
So then if you make the statement, it's okay. You can't invite. But here now, the guy walks at the house on Yom Tov. You don't have to kick him out.
Right.
But as long as you're very explicit with him, listen, we're not cooking extra for you. Then already they're allowed to. So that's the way you negotiate in the case where they showed up on Yom Tov. That's what we're learning from Moremor and Mor Zutra. In the case where they showed up, you have to be explicit so you won't come to cook for them. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. Bet Shammai Omrim. Bet Shammai say, Lo yahem adam hamin leraglav, ela imkin le'uyim neshtiya. Now we discuss other isurim on Yom Tov. Bet Shammai says, it is forbidden to heat up water in order to clean or wash one's legs on Yom Tov, unless the waters are ra'uy for drinking. Which means, according to Bet Shammai, he says, listen, the Torah was matir, making fire for ochel nefesh, for eating purposes, not for any other purposes. This is bathing purposes. Mm-hmm. So Bet Shammai says, unless the water is ra'uy for drinking, so then already you could use it for also bathing your legs. Now we have to understand, Bet Shammai, as we learned earlier, does not subscribe to the opinion of mitoch, which means, well, let's what's the case we're talking about? Does it mean as long as the waters are clean waters that are drinkable, so you could just boil the water and not drink it and use it for washing? Is that saying that he's holding that mitoch shutra letzorech ochel nefesh shutra shelo letzorech ochel nefesh? Tosfot says that cannot be, because Tosfot does not hold of this mitoch business. So Tosfot therefore says in the bottom, you have to say he's drinking from the waters, which means it's not a potential over there. Mm-hmm. You have to say he's boiling waters, da da da, we for drinking, and he's drinking, and he has extra. So the extra water he'd be able to now use for his feet, only because he drank from the waters. And that was your heter to cook them or boil them in the first place. Whereas Betilel Matirin. Betilel comes along and says, this is indeed going to become permissible. Why? Because Betilel holds that when the Torah was Matir Ochel Nefesh, it was Matir Okay, that's why. Because everybody has to eat. Yeah, we're going to tell the guy, don't eat on Yom Tov. That's a normal pleasure that everybody needs. Now, bathing one's feet, Betelel says, that's also considered a hana'a hashaveh lechol nefesh. Which means, at least bathing one's feet, whether you're a finicky guy or not a finicky guy, everybody bathes, at least washes the feet. Regarding full body, that already could be argument. Which means only finicky people would wash yadav, raglav, etc. So Betelel would not allow that. Because it's only could be similar to ochen. Just like ochen is a hana'a, shaveh lechol nefesh. So to at least washing the feet, according to him, is enough to boil the water or to warm the water up. That'll be permissible. So that's the machloket Bet Shammai and Betelel. To that, Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, last line, Osin ada, Ose Adam, Medora, Methamem Kenegda. On Yom Tov, a person is allowed to make a Medora. What's a Medora?
Fire.
Like a, you know,
bonfire.
A bonfire, or to warm himself,
yeah. Like a fire,
you know, against it. Now, Gemara asks, Ibayilu, Hai Medora Man Ketanila. This last line over here that says you can make the bonfire to warm yourself, who's it going like? Divrei HaKol Hi. You're going to say it's going to everybody? Veshani lu lebet shamay ben hana'at kol gufo lehana'at ever echad. And maybe I'll make a chiluk in Bet Shammai. And I'll say it like this. Whereas Bet Shammai will tell us to warm up water for your feet.
Right.
That I'm not allowing you. But I'll allow you a hana'at that's similar to food. The hana'at of food is a pleasure that the whole body enjoys. Correct? So therefore I'll tell you it's also permissible heating yourself, but that's also hana'a of the whole body. So maybe the last part of the Mishnah is even going like Bet Shammai. Or Dilma, maybe I'll tell you no. Betelel katanida. About Bet Shammai, no shani lu. Maybe Bet Shammai says, any non-eating, food-related item is asud. Whether it's boiling water for bathing, whether it's making a fire to heat yourself, it's asud. So that's the question. Does the last statement go even according to Bet Shammai? Or does Bet Shammai argue? Tashema, very clear statement. Bet Shammai omrim, lo ya'ase adam medora, v'yitchamem kenegda, uvetelel matiri. Clearly Bet Shammai holds, no. Just like you can't heat the water up for bathing purposes, you're not allowed to heat up the fire in order to warm your body. Only strict ochel nefesh is permissible. Go to the next Mishnah. Shlosha devarim, Rabban Gamliel mahmir kedevle Bet Shammai. The following three items, Rabban Gamliel was mahmir like Bet Shammai. Let's go one at a time. Of course, the Gemara will explain each one in length. We'll just give you the cases. En tomin etahamin lechetechila b'yom tov. Ema hatmana meant that after the food is already cooked, they used to insulate the pot in order to keep the heat inside. So Rabban Gamliel was mahmir, that it's forbidden to insulate a pot from Yom Tov to Shabbat. When we're talking about Yom Tov came out on a Friday. Okay? It's following Shabbat. So we'll see, he's going to hold like Bet Shammai's strict opinion that Hatmana is Asur from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And we will see why in the Gemara. Ve'en zukfin et ha-menorah b'yom tov. They have a candelabra. The candelabra was, let's say, made up of pieces. Right? Now you want to lift it up in order that the pieces should come together. Bet Shammai was mahmir that you cannot lift the menorah to make it straight, to complete. That we can say like fixing, like we'll see in the Gemara. And therefore he was mahmir like Bet Shammai as well on that. Ve'en ofin pitin girisin. Thirdly, one is not allowed to make thick bread. On Yom Tov, that's girisin, the thick bread. Ela rikikin.
The thin one is
right, the thin ones. Why? Wafers. Rashi says, because it's bitirha. It's too much exertion to make that thick bread. Now we'll see. Abba Rabban Gamliel, so Rabban Gamliel continues and says, Mimehem shel bet Abba. From the days of my father's house, lo ayu ofin pitin girisin ela rikikin. So you know, my father's house on Yom Tov, they never baked the thick bread on Yom Tov, they only baked the thin wafers. Amru, also the rabbis told them, Man na'asa, man na'asa lebet abicha. What are we going to do to your father's house. Shayu mahmirin ma'alatzman. They were mahmir and they were strict on themselves. However, umikirin echol Yisrael. But when it came to echol Yisrael, they were mekel yot ofin pitin girisin b'hararin. They let them cook girisin, that's the thick bread, and hararin, which means cold baked bread, which is also another form of bread, which means, what do you mean? Your father was mahmir like Bet Shammai. He was mahmir like those opinions over there. But for Klal Yisrael, you try to bring a story from your father. Your father was mahmir, but for Klal Yisrael, he indeed was mekel to even bake the thick bread on Yom Tov. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.